Let's begin with news here in Michigan. Dozens of Chaldeans in Metro Detroit have been arrested. They were actually arrested yesterday by the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement. And now they face deportation, which my next guest says could lead to them being killed. Martin Mano with us, president of the Chaldean Community Foundation. Martin, great to have you on WILS. Hey, Martin, how you doing tonight?
Good, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Great to have you here. Tell me this, Martin. First of all, Chaldeans, where is the community originally from?
They're indigenous to Iraq, parts of Turkey, mainly Iraq and Syria, but Iraq is the main country.
Okay, and how many Chaldeans live in Michigan right now?
More than 150,000.
More than 150,000. And now what is your – well, first of all, were you surprised by what happened yesterday?
I believe most people in the community were very surprised. And by the way, it's continuing. It's an ongoing operation that it's supposed to last, I assume, throughout the week.
Okay. Now, what is happening exactly?
Most of these members of our community have had a final order of removal, which means that they could be deported. But most of the instances have been because of crimes, whether it was a misdemeanor or a felony, that were committed mainly in the 80s. All of these members, or most if not all of them, came here legally, so it's not as if they're undocumented. They've been reporting to ICE, but at some point they didn't get their citizenship in time, and before they got their citizenship, they had some sort of misdemeanor or felony, and because of that, had no path to becoming a permanent citizen.
Oh, really?
And so they've been living in this country and really only know this country. They came here when they were children, and are culturally illiterate when you talk about Iraq. They don't speak the language, have really no family remaining there. And so deporting them, as I mentioned earlier, is equivalent to a death sentence because, since the U.S. invasion of Iraq, U.S. bears some responsibility here in 2003. That country has gone from 1.5 million Christians to less than 200,000 today. And the U.S. government just last year declared that there's been a genocide committed against Christians and other minorities in that country. Just last week, Congress passed another resolution unanimously that talks about the genocide that's been committed against Christians in Iraq and Syria. So it's just you talk about how could a country on one end say that there's a genocide being committed at Christians and on the other hand deport Christians back to that country.
So you're saying many of them committed crimes in the 80s, and what happened? I mean, it's been decades. Why are we suddenly seeing them up for deportation?
Well, it's not that they're suddenly up for deportations. Previous administrations, whether it was Bush or Obama, or Reagan, for the matter, didn't deport to Iraq because of country conditions. One could argue that, and rightfully so, that conditions in Iraq have actually worsened. So why would they be sent back to Iraq now? It really has a lot to do with this new administration.
What is their status? So they haven't been deported because of concerns in Iraq. Are they on a list of potentially being deported all these years then?
They always had that risk. You know, they have no path to citizenship. But just like other countries, the difference here is the Chaldean community is really a community without a homeland. I mean, they have no future left in the country, which was historically their country, because of what's happened with terrorism and the fact that they've been persecuted as a religious minority. And so when we talk about laws, you talk about what are the laws of this. We are a country and a nation of laws, a community of laws. We should always follow the laws, but we need to follow all laws as they pertain. So one of which is, okay, these folks have committed a crime at some point. They paid did their time. They're almost all of them are model citizens, but who are we now to sentence them to death?
But here's what I'm trying to are they here illegally? But I mean, I understand they don't have a path to
citizenship.
No,
they all came to the country legally.
Legally, okay. So what is their status? Because they can't now. Once you have even a misdemeanor, you cannot become a U.S. citizen. Is that right?
So certain types. But what specifically on these matters? They are here, and they have working documents, so they're allowed to work. They do pay taxes. A lot of them own businesses.
Okay, so where are they now? How many members of your community have been detained by ICE?
ICE, as reported by some members of Congress who had just recently called me about an hour ago, said there's been 106 that have been detained thus far.
106 right there from your Detroit community, you're saying?
Correct.
Okay, and where are they physically, do you know?
There is a few different correctional facilities, but most of them are being processed and sent to Youngstown, Ohio.
Okay, and what is the plan for them right now?
There is discussions that there's a plane that's expected to leave as early as 20th or the 17th of this month.
And that plane is going to Iraq, you're saying?
Plane is going to Baghdad, correct.
Wow, okay. And what would happen to them once they got off that plane?
Well, I know there was an instance, the last plane that left in 2009 that had some members of our community. Unfortunately, from our understanding, a couple of those people were killed. Some were kidnapped. You know, they will be targeted. They don't speak the language. They don't have relatives there because they've all fled the country. And so I really don't know what would happen. I do know that historically this community has been persecuted, and they're likely to be in harm's way if they are deported to Baghdad.
Okay. Well, so they get off the plane, and they're just – I mean, I'm guessing there's no social program to welcome them back to Iraq.
To integrate them, no. Right. Not that I know of.
They just walk out of the airport and then fend for their life. That is quite scary. So, Martin, what kinds of legal power do you have here?
Well, you know, that's what we're still trying to figure out. Tomorrow, we're hosting all of the attorneys in the community and have hired some national firms to try to give us some counsel on what the best approach will be. But each of these folks that are being detained should have their own individual counsel. And they are emergency motions that are being filed, a motion to stay, you know, to try to grant them some time as we try to figure this process out politically.
Okay, but so if they have working documents that they're here legally, how is it that they're being deported in that case?
Because they're all on final order of removal. As I mentioned earlier, if they do get some sort of misdemeanors or a felony, they have no pathway to citizenship, and then they're vulnerable to being deported at any time.
Okay, so it's really just a matter of...
The irony is they haven't been deported in decades, you know?
In decades, and then suddenly now they're facing deportation. Huh, that's... what do you think the likelihood is that you'll be able to stop that from happening then?
Well, it's really going to come down to the courts now. I mean, the administration has made it clear that they're going after anybody and everybody. And we're going to have to, I mean, there is laws like Convention Against Torture. There's also international laws where countries cannot deport individuals if they are knowingly to be put in harm's way, if they're going to be persecuted. And that's clear. I mean, mm-hmm. Just last week, one of the highest Iraqi Shiite clerics declared that Christians are infidels. They should either convert or be killed or leave the country. I mean, the case on why they shouldn't be deported is simple. I mean, what's happened with ISIS and many other elements of radical Islam there has mm-hmm. made this case very easy and compelling. It's just a matter of would a federal judge grant them their ability to stay in this country while things until country conditions improve.
Now, you say they committed crimes as far back as the 80s. What kinds of crimes? Can you be specific about what they actually did?
Yeah, I mean, so some of them, just to be clear, some of them, a very small percentage, were involved in crimes such as intent to murder and crimes such as, criminal sexual conduct. That's a very small percentage of them. Most of them might have had done some things such as marijuana or drug dealing. You know, a few of them, they give you an example. One of the guys who has a young family, four children, had an unlicensed gun. Another one had a small amount of marijuana. Another one was a shoplifter. And so, you know, they're not really all hardened criminals. The vast majority are not hardened criminals at all.
Martin Manna, president of the Chaldean Community Foundation. And you're saying the operation is happening right as we speak. As in, what's happening? Are the agents just going into the homes, or can you explain how it's happening?
Yeah, typically agents will show up at the house and immediately place them under arrest and take them to the detention center.
Are there any members of the community that you know are trying to flee before they're caught?
I don't know that.
Uh-huh. And how are you advising your community to react right now then?
I'm making sure they all have legal representation and that they follow the law.
Okay, but they know, right? I mean, they know if they have the criminal record, they know they're probably going to be, there's going to be a knock on the door, right?
it seems as if this is just a matter of time that if, and they will know because they've been reporting to the government. Again, they have to check in at least once a year, if not once a month. These were easy targets for ICE agents. You know, this is a victory for them because they could look at it. They already knew who they were. They've been, you know, checking in with them for decades, so they know where they lived, and this was an easy sweep for them so they could claim victory.
Yeah, what do you want to tell President Trump then?
Well, I think the irony of all this is you talk about a community that was probably very supportive of President Trump in Oakland and Macomb counties here in Michigan and probably helped him get elected because they were really frustrated with the previous administration and how they talked and really didn't respond to the atrocities being committed against Christians. So there goes the irony. They supported this president, and here they are being deported by someone who in all likelihood, they supported.
Really? So the Chaldeans, you think the majority voted for President Trump?
I would think that because they tend to be, you know, it's always about faith and family. But this election had a lot to do with what ISIS had done to our community in Iraq and the failure of the previous administration to acknowledge and to take action.
Did you vote for President Trump yourself?
I don't really talk about who I voted for or why.
Okay. Martin Manna, the president of the Chaldean Community Foundation. Martin, thank you for joining us on WILS.
It's an honor. Thanks for having me.
And we'll touch base. Obviously, a very, very serious story ongoing here, right here in Michigan.